Morning, everybody. Nick DiGiulio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate studio. Here till 5 a.m. on 720 WGN. And, yeah. So, a couple of things here. I want to talk about movies that everybody at this point are their beloved films. People love them, but they didn't start out that way. Many of them were critically, they were not critically well received. They were panned and they bombed at the box office. So we're going to talk about movies that were flops that didn't do well with critics, but are now considered beloved. And there's a specific story that I want to get to. But that got me thinking about things that you used to dislike or things that you didn't like, but you had a change of heart. It could be movies, it could be TV shows, it could be songs, it could be food. Stuff that you didn't like when you were younger or things that you didn't like that you had a change of heart that you now like. 312-981-7200. Anytime you want to call us, you can. We're talking about things that you hated but now you like in every category, entertainment-wise, everything. 312-981-7200 also for text. You can also check us out on Twitter, at Nick D Show. Best way to stay connected is on our Facebook page. You can leave your comments there, facebook.com/Nick D Show. Like us, facebook.com/Nick D Show. And also, if you can't listen live, 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. on the weekday mornings, the podcasts are put up in the morning after every show. And you can listen every single second of this show as podcast, so you don't miss anything. You can listen at your leisure, bro. At your leisure, bro. You go to iTunes.com. You can subscribe to the Nick DiGiulio Show. It's free. Shows up on your little device there, and you can listen to it anytime you want. So check us out at WGNRadio.com for that. So, you know, we're going to start out here talking about movies that are beloved but started out as box office flops, not critical acclaim at all. And there's a great deal of films that people really love now that didn't start out that way. That's what we're going to start talking about. But we want to talk about everything that you, in any department, entertainment-wise or food-wise or drink-wise, that you didn't like but now you like. 312-981-7200. Start out with a story that's going to make me feel really old. Edward Scissorhands was a box office bomb when it was released. It was a box office bomb. The critics were not kind to it. I was. It was on my top 10 list.
I love that movie.
It's a great film.
Yeah.
I loved it when it came out. Didn't do very well when it came out at all. It was a bomb. And it yesterday marked the 25th anniversary of Edward Scissorhands, which makes me feel really, really old. Now, Dan, you are younger than I am by about, 17 years, something like that? You're 33, right?
34.
Oh, you're 30?
Yeah.
Oh, you just turned 34?
Right.
Oh, while you were on vacation.
Right.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
I thought you turned 30. No, you turned 34.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so you're 16 years younger
right.
than I am. All right. So when Edward Scissorhands came out, it was Christmas 1990, you were?
9 years old?
I
was 9 years old.
Nine.
Yeah.
So did you see Edward Scissorhands? Was it something that you saw?
I have a very vivid memory of it. I didn't see it in the theaters, but I saw it on HBO. And
did it freak you out?
No, kind of, but not for the reason. This is another topic, I'm sure, for another time, but the always awkward...
I'm sorry, are we opening up the head of Daniel Shigrew a little bit here?
Scenes you should not have seen with your parents.
Oh, God, okay.
So, because, what HBO does is they run their 8 p.m. Friday feature, Saturday night feature, they also run at 8 a.m. on Saturday morning.
Okay.
And so I watched it 8 a.m. Saturday morning. And then I knew that there was a scene where he was getting frisky or something was going on, or they're like the next door neighbor was trying to
he was trying to be, he was being seduced.
Right. Yeah. Right. So I remember, so that part was coming up in the movie when my parents and I were watching it at 8 p.m. Later that day. And so not wanting to be in the room when that was happening, I'm like, oh, I've got to go to the bathroom. But, I'm totally mistimed it, and, it was 15 minutes before the scene actually happened, so I spent, 15 minutes in the bathroom. My parents are like, what's wrong? Are you okay? So that's my very vivid memory of Edward Scissorhands.
Here's the question I have, though. Now, so you watched it at 8 a.m.
Right.
Okay. Now, were you trying to hide the fact that you had watched it?
No, I just didn't want to be in the room.
I see.
When
I see.
It was
so
going
it was
on.
All it was all because it was going to be uncomfortable to be in the room.
Right.
I thought maybe you know they were like, you can't watch this movie without us, and you watched it anyway in the morning, and then you wanted to. Like, because I was going to say, if that was the case, then you're giving yourself away by knowing that there's a an uncomfortable scene coming up.
I didn't want to be in the room for the seduction with my parents. So.
Well, Edward Scissorhands is 25 years old. Oh man, wrap your mind around that for a minute. So I was 25 when it came out, it was a complete box office bomb. I remember when it came out, and Roy and I were very high on it when it came out. We both gave it a great review and thought it was like this really wonderful, beautiful, magical fable. And, you know, we backed it. And I remember Roy and I getting phone calls from listeners saying that we were nuts and people saying, how could you give this movie a good review? And I remember because I had been working with Roy at that point for 5 years and people still hated me at that point because, I was this young, smart-ass kid. Who was a part of Roy's show, and I gave great reviews to horror films and, you know, movies with violence and stuff like that. And so I remember one caller in specific called up specifically who called up when we were on, and Roy and I would do the movie reviews on Saturday, and then we would open up the phone lines and have people call in with questions about movies that were currently in theaters. And, you know, at a time like in 1990, movies were in theaters for longer than they are now. You know, if you don't make a lot of money now, presently, if you don't make a lot of money on opening weekend, your movie's going to be gone 1 week, 2 weeks tops. It'll be gone. That wasn't the case, 25 years ago. 25 years ago, a movie doesn't do very well. It still stays in the theater for many weeks and maybe a couple of months or something like that. So I remember someone called in because they had gone to see Edward Scissorhands based upon our recommendation. And Roy and I were like, you know, Roy was like, oh, well, I'm glad you saw it. What'd you think? And they were like, we hated it, Roy. I can't believe that you liked that movie. It was so weird. It was just one of the weirdest movies. And this caller must have said weird 67 times in a 45-second time, you know, frame. She was just weird. It was too weird. And I'm like, well, all right. And she's like, you know what the problem is, Roy? That Nick, he's gotten to you. You start liking these weird movies. Ever since that Nick guy got on your show, you like these weirdo movies, and he likes weirdo movies. You shouldn't like this movie. And I was like, geez, man, pull it back a little bit. So I remember I got blamed for Roy liking Edward Scissorhands, when in fact now, if you look back at it, it is this really beautiful movie. And I tried to say that. I was like, no, it's not. It isn't. It's a little offbeat. The characters are strange. But the movie is ultimately really life-affirming and about acceptance and about love. That's what the movie's about. It's weird. Okay. Go take your Ritalin. So 25 years later, now the movie is considered this beloved sort of classic. It has marked 25 years, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted to talk about this. Stuff that is now considered sort of classics that have bombed. Now, my favorite director, and we've discussed this before, my favorite filmmaker is John Carpenter. John Carpenter, I saw Halloween when I was 13 years old, and it was the movie that changed my life and changed the way I looked at movies. I didn't know what a director did until I saw Halloween. And so every movie that came out after that John Carpenter had his name on, I saw immediately and I loved it. And I, you know, it's impossible for me to be objective about John Carpenter movies because I love his movies so much. I mean, I gave Ghosts of Mars, made my top 10 list the year that movie came out. So I'm not very objective when The Ward made my top 15, his last movie, the year that came out. But there has been a trend, and Dan, you know this, there's been a trend to now call John Carpenter's movies from 30, 25 years ago masterpieces and classics. You know? I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of filmmakers that this has happened to, but I don't think as many movies from the same director are now considered classics when they tanked. I think Carpenter has that record licked. Because if you look back, like The Fog, okay? The Fog was considered a disappointment. Because it was a follow-up to Halloween, and it wasn't the same movie as Halloween. It wasn't as relentlessly scary as Halloween. It was a very moody ghost story, completely different than Halloween. Did well at the box office, but many considered it crap. Okay? All right. What happens in 2005? The damn thing gets remade, and everybody talks about the original being genius. I have many more to talk about in that department. We got to get to that, but we have to break here because we got weather and we got traffic. And I want to hear from you. What movies or TV shows, books, food, drink, stuff that you didn't like before, but you had a change of heart and you like now? 312-981-7200. There is an interesting backstory to Edward Scissorhands that we want to talk about. And I also have a couple of lists here of movies that were box office and critical flops, but are now considered great. 312-981-7200. All right, all right, all right. Good morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower here till 5. So we're talking about, we're old because Edward Scissorhands turned 25. The release of Edward Scissorhands was 25 years ago yesterday. So we're talking about how that movie was poorly received both at the box office and by critics, but is now considered a classic. I have a bunch of other movies here that were box office flops and critical flops. That are now considered great. And so we're talking about that. And that I opened up the topic to include for you guys. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Talk and text. What are things that you used to not like but now you like? My good friend George Karzis just texted me. George, who owns and operates the greatest restaurant on the planet, the Gale Street Inn. In Jefferson Park, fantastic place. You know, everybody knows about how great the food is and how great the ribs are. Everything is good at Gale Street. The food, the people, everything. And my main man, George. Nobody runs a restaurant better than George. George texts me and says, blue cheese, I used to hate it. Now I love it. I'm really matured. Okay. So George didn't like blue cheese. By the way, I do want to mention, and George has mentioned this before, he's the only Greek that I know. George is the only Greek. No, he's not the only Greek that I know. That's not the end of the sentence. He's the only Greek that I know that doesn't like olives. No, I'm sorry. There are two. There's another one. Anthony Ternis, who I co-wrote Black and Blue with, actor at the Factory Theater.
Great play.
Thank you. He is Greek, and he doesn't like olives. And I just was like, isn't there some sort of law? Isn't there like a Greek law that means you can't be Greek anymore if you don't like olives? I don't
know.
I mean, you can't. How do you not like olives and be Greek? That'd be like saying, yeah, you know what? I don't like marinara sauce.
You could be allergic to it.
He's not allergic. Neither of them are allergic to it.
Just trying to stay.
Yeah, they just have weird taste buds. But but yeah, that'd be like me saying, yeah, listen, I don't want mozzarella. I really don't. Don't do that. Parmesan cheese, no, keep it away from me. I don't like it.
I don't know. I don't care for bratwurst.
Okay.
The majority of my family is from Germany.
Yeah.
So I really don't care much for German food.
Wow. I love German food. I love it.
It's not that I hate it.
Yeah.
I just don't have a desire for it.
I'm trying to think of stuff that I didn't like, but I did, because I was never a really picky eater.
See, I was.
Oh, man, not me, man.
My hamburgers when I was a kid, plain.
Oh, God.
I didn't graduate to ketchup and mustard on a hamburger until maybe, I don't know, my 20s.
What?
Yeah, I'm serious. I'm serious. I still can't. I have a gag reflex for tomatoes.
Man.
I'm not kidding.
Jeez, that's strange.
It's extremely strange, but
that's
what did
strange.
You expect from
well,
me?
Well, you know, I was never, you know.
And our kids eat great.
Broccoli, spinach, put it in front of me, I'd eat it.
Yeah.
I love spinach. Spinach is my favorite vegetable. And liver and onions. Put liver and onions in front of me. I'm a 9-year-old. I would eat the hell out of liver and onions.
See, now you just said two foods. I was sitting here all this time trying to think. You just said two foods that I love now that I didn't like as a kid. Spinach and liver.
Yeah.
But now I'll cook up the liver really nice.
Well, yeah.
And some good spinach.
I'll tell you what I...
But what wouldn't you touch?
There wasn't a lot, man. My parents did not have a hard time feeding me vegetables and stuff. They really didn't. You put it in front of me and I'd eat it. Now I don't like – it's just weird. I don't like couscous. Couscous is just – it's just a grain. I realize that. It's just like a pasta.
Mm-hmm.
It's the consistency of couscous that makes me sick. I just don't like
really?
The consistency.
It's a little gritty?
Well, it's that. It's like vomit. It has the consistency. Ugh. It has the consistency of vomit.
See, I've never had it, so now
you've never had couscous?
No.
Now, the bigger couscous.
I've had farfel, but that's not the same thing.
You mean falafel?
Not falafel.
Farfel. Farfel. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So yeah. No, the bigger couscous is not as bad. It's the small couscous.
Okay.
The tiny couscous. The bigger couscous I can eat. But I, whenever I go and have Middle Eastern food, I always opt for basmati rice. I always get the rice instead of the couscous. Always. But that's just, but, you know, other than that, and I can't eat anything cherry flavored.
Really?
Cherry flavored makes me sick. Makes me absolutely sick. And I wasn't like that my whole life. I was in the hospital like 25 years ago, 25, 26 years ago. And they had to do a test. I was in the hospital and they had to do a test that required me to have my stomach empty. So I was on like a liquid diet and all that stuff. And, you know, they had to make sure that my guts were all cleaned out because they were going to stick a dye in me and do all that crap.
Right.
And so they gave me this liquid that I had to drink. And it came in a bottle and they gave me a plastic cup with ice in it. And they said, pour this in here, drink this down. You got to drink the whole thing and this will help clear you out.
Okay.
And I took a sip of it and they were like, drink it fast. So I took a sip of it. It was, without question, the most insanely intense cherry flavor I've ever tasted in my life. Ever in my life. And again, I didn't dislike cherry at that time in my life. So I had to drink this stuff down. It was the most overwhelming, intense, horrible cherry flavor I've ever tasted. I drank the stuff down within 15 minutes. I'm not going to describe what happened, but it was not pretty.
Yeah.
It was not pretty.
Do you think it was the heavy flavor because of the taste of the medicine?
I have no idea, but I don't touch anything cherry flavored anymore. Okay. And that's like a Pavlov dog's, you know, it's a Pavlovian response it did horrible things to me.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I can't taste anything cherry and I can't, it just makes me, ugh. And it's just because of that incident. Here's George on WGN. Hey, George.
Hey, yeah, I know. My family's gonna kill me, but my name is George. I was born in Greece, and I hate lamb. So my family considered disowning me because of it.
Now I'm wondering if George Karzis is listening right now, screaming at the radio.
I can't stand it.
You can't. Oh man. Okay, I'll eat it. If you have lamb at some point, just send it to me.
You know, we have a couple times a year, you know, for Easter, we do like the spit, you know, the whole lamb.
Oh, God, that's so good.
I just stay the heck out of the backyard. I can't even do it.
Man.
So, a movie. I don't know if it was, I wouldn't really call it a critical bomb because I don't think it had much high hopes to begin with. But definitely, you know, pulled on the heartstrings of corporate America. I would have to say Office Space in the late 90s.
Office Space was one of the biggest bombs of that year. And has gone on to become a classic. I mean, people know it by heart. When it came out in the theaters, it was an absolute bomb. Here's another guy. We mentioned John Carpenter. Let's talk a little bit about Mike Judge. Mike Judge is a guy who has made some of the most prescient movies. Well, he made a movie called Idiocracy, which, by the way, what's going on in this world right now, that movie's becoming a documentary.
Yes.
You know, so
he's ahead of his time for sure.
Absolutely. Completely ahead of his time.
Movie, yeah.
One of these days, people are going to go, you know, Extract? That movie was a masterpiece. People are going to say that. But Office Space was a massive bomb when it came out, but is now a classic. People know it by heart, especially people who've ever worked in an office. I mean, it's a great movie. Yep. All right, George, thanks, man.
Thank you.
Take care. Yeah, and by the way, that's on the list here that we've got of movies that that bombed when they came out, but became hits over the years. And Office Space is definitely on this list. I remember when it came out, I thought it was – I liked it a lot. I haven't had a lot of office jobs, you know, over the years. I held down an office job for a little bit, but I didn't have to do it day in and day out till it sucks the life out of your soul. You know what I mean? And I know that millions of people every day have to do that. So there were things in it that I didn't quite appreciate as much as someone who has to work in a cubicle every single day. But I thought it was a very funny movie. I just thought, and I still think this, I still think the movie's not as strong in the last half hour as it is in the first hour. Once they start getting into the whole, taking the money scheme at the end. You know what I'm talking about, Dan? You've seen the movie, right?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
The last half hour, not as strong, you know, when they're trying to rip off the company.
They try to put a plot in, yeah.
Yeah, but that first hour is glorious. I mean, just magnificent. I'm an Idiocracy guy. I think that, you know, Idiocracy is the best movie Mike Judge has ever made. And seriously, it is, you know, I interviewed Terry Crews a couple of weeks ago when I was filling in for Cochran. I interviewed Terry Crews and I told him, I was like, you know, Idiocracy is a pretty amazing movie. You're great in it. And have you been watching Donald Trump's campaign? And he's like, yeah, I know. It's the same thing, man. It's coming true. It's coming true. And I'm like, yes, it is. All right, we got a break. What did you hate but you love in any category? Movie, TVs, entertainment, food, drink, whatever. I've got some movies here that are now beloved but but people hated them when they came out. 312-981-7200. News next. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower, here till 5 a.m. Our phone number and text number, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. And we're talking about that you used to dislike something and now you like it. We were just talking about how Edward Scissorhands turned 25 this year. And it was a box office bomb and not a critical success, but it has gone on to become sort of a beloved film. And I have a bunch of other really loved movies that were box office flops and critical flops as well when they were released. And we talked a little bit about Office Space, and we got some more here that we're going to get to. And we want to hear from you at 312-981-7200. 773 area code says that I used to hate Logan's Run, but now I love it. Oh, God.
I haven't seen that in a long time.
Sucks. My favorite review of Logan's Run ever, and one of my favorite reviews ever was written by Dave Kerr. Dave Kerr, who I still think is the best film critic in the country. And
did he liked it?
And no, okay. Of course he didn't like it. No, but his review was. And I can't remember verbatim, but it's, you can actually find it because he wrote for the Chicago Reader years ago, and then ended up writing for the Tribune. Now he's in New York and he writes for the Times, but he wrote for the Reader and his reviews are archived at Chicago Reader. So if you go to Chicago Reader, you can actually look back at some of his old reviews, and he's a brilliant writer, brilliant writer. But he said that the Logan's Run, he ripped it apart. He ripped it to shreds. And he said that according to Logan's Run, the future looks a lot like Woodfield. And I just remember laughing my ass off when I read that review. And it's true. If you've gone back and watched Logan's Run, it looks like they filmed it at Woodfield.
Woodfield Mall?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Looks like Woodfield. I was like, that's the greatest description. And he ripped apart the production design and art direction of the movie in one sentence by just saying, yeah, according to this movie, the future looks a lot like Woodfield. And I was like, that's fantastic. Keith in Kansas said, I couldn't stand Cantaloupe as a youth. Now I love it. Dwayne says, I came around to the movie The Cutting Edge. The Cutting Edge? Where the hockey player becomes a figure skater.
Oh, come on.
D.B. Sweeney and Moira Kelly. She was adorable, man. Whatever happened to her? Whatever happened to Moira Kelly? Ooh, I like her. She was in that damn Twin Peaks movie. She was in that Fire Walk With Me. That's the last thing I remember. And the reason I remember that one so vividly is because she took her clothes off in that movie. And she'd never taken her clothes off in any movie. And I'm like, oh, David Lynch got Moira Kelly to take her clothes off. But, you know, Cutting Edge, no.
That movie rules.
Oh, stop.
Movie's fantastic.
It was funny.
I even watched the sequel because I enjoyed the first one so much.
You know, I think there's more than one sequel, Dan.
Probably is.
I think they did some straight. Now, who was it? Do you remember who was in the sequel? Was it D.B. Sweeney in the sequel?
I don't think it was.
D.B. Sweeney, by the way, who in his entire career is never giving a more embarrassing performance than he has in Chirac. Let me just say that right now. No, Cutting Edge is ridiculous, but Moira Kelly's cute. I would watch anything with Moira Kelly. Naomi says, coffee. I used to hate it. Now I love it. Victor says, he was in Chicago Heights, and he says, I just watched Plan 9 from Outer Space while eating avocados. Okay,
wow.
Victor, that's something you might want to keep to yourself. Says, it's a food I once hated, now I love, while I'm watching a movie I once hated, now I love. Well, you're supposed to hate Plan 9 from Outer Space. That's why people love it. It's terrible. But I don't know. Dan, you ever sat down and watched a movie and said, you know, I'm going to eat some avocados. if there's great, you know, I don't understand why they don't sell whole avocados at the movie theater.
They should.
Don't you think? You know, I got a taste for some avocados, honey.
When do you not have a taste for avocados?
Now, I can understand if you've got, like, chips and you've got, you know, guacamole. That makes sense. But I'm just picturing him, like, cutting open an avocado and taking the knife and smacking it into the pit to get rid of it, you know, and then scooping out the avocado all while watching Vampira. And, okay. 309 area code, where the Buffalo roam? You know, I got to tell you, as a fan of Hunter S. Thompson, I like Where the Buffalo Roam. I think Where the Buffalo Roam, it's not a great movie, but I think Bill Murray's great in it. So I back that one. 219 area code says, hey, Nick, I'm with you on Edward Scissorhands. When it came out, I took my daughters who were 16 and 13, and they were enchanted. They cried their eyes out and just loved it. Love your show, and I've been with you ever since you started with Roy. Lisa says, guacamole. God, what are we getting? All the avocado people are coming out of the woodwork. Hey, wasn't there a movie called The Crazy Amazon Women in the Avocado Jungle? Wasn't that
the Avocado Jungle?
There's a movie with, like, crazy women in the avocado jungle. I'm not kidding. And I'm waiting for somebody to text that in now, since we're in the world avocado. What?
Cannibal Women in the Avocado Jungle of Death.
That's right.
Oh,
there it is. What is it? 80s, right? 80s?
I would hope so. 1989.
See?
There you go.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Joe
now,
says,
would
yeah.
you eat avocado while watching that?
I think it's required.
Okay.
Joe says, A Christmas Story comes immediately to mind. I don't think it was a huge box office moneymaker, but it's a Christmas classic now. That's absolutely true, Joe. I remember vividly seeing it. It came out in November of 1983, and I remember seeing it with my girlfriend at the time. We went to see it. We both loved it. We thought it was great. There were like two people in the theater, and it got okay reviews, and it bombed. It absolutely bombed. Now, number one on the list of beloved movies that were box office flops, number one on the list is It's a Wonderful Life. It's a Wonderful Life almost ended Frank Capra's career when it came out. The critics didn't like it. It made no money. And now it's gone on, like a Christmas Story, to become this holiday classic that everybody watches.
What is it on that list? What number on the list?
Number
is
one.
It? Number
it's
one.
It's a Wonderful Life is number one.
Where is Wizard of Oz?
Wizard of Oz is on the list as well, yeah. At like number 10 or something.
That almost didn't finish getting made.
Well, it went through three directors.
Yeah.
Victor Fleming got the final directing credit, but it went through three different directors.
And bombed.
Has become, it bombed and has become... you know, it cost $2.7 million to make, and it grossed $3 million. So they barely even made a profit on it back in those days. So, and again, I'm the only person on the planet that can't stand The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, stop.
Can't stand it. I like Return to Oz.
The cartoon version?
Well, no. The film with Fairuza Balk's first movie.
Oh.
Came out in the mid-80s. Right. I like Return to Oz, and I like the James Franco, Sam Raimi Oz movie. But I don't like The Wizard of Oz. I'm like the only person.
But it's got great cinematography.
It looks fine. It's, I don't care. I don't like the music. I don't. It's just. All right, here's Steve, limo driver. Hey, Steve.
Hey, good morning, Nick. How are you?
All right.
Hey, things that I used to not like, and now I like, WGN Radio.
Mm.
Yeah,
When was the period that you didn't like it?
Well, just, you know, it was like when we were kids, it was like the old man station, you know, and the old lady station. And I was a big Stephen, Gary, and Johnny B fan and stuff. But
yeah.
Gary Meyer was such a hater of WGN. He was like the number one Uncle Wally, you know, he would always be cutting them down.
Well, both he and Steve made a career about, they made a career out of slamming WGN.
Yeah, you had to play Steve's song on Old Wally sometime.
I'll be sure to play that on this radio station, Steve. That's going to happen right away. All right, Steve, thanks, man.
I never saw Edward Scissorhands or The Christmas Story yet. I'm going to have to put those on my list.
Well, all you got to do for Christmas Story, Steve, is turn on your TV at any time Christmas Eve. Because it's on TBS and TNT 24 hours straight.
I might have seen like one scene or something or whatever, but I haven't seen it.
All right.
But everyone talks about it. Have a nice day.
All right. Take care, buddy. Steve, the limo driver, wants to hear Oh Wally by Steve Dahl. We'll put that on the – Dan, can you put that down on the request list? We'll get right to that.
Is it a fly jam?
No. It's funny as hell, but it's not a fly jam. I, too, was a Steve Dahl fanatic. But I also listen to this station. I know that's weird. That's like being a Cubs fan and a Sox fan. It's not supposed to happen. You're not supposed to be a Cubs fan and a Sox fan. But I was a Steve Dahl, Gary Meyer, Jonathan Brandmeier, Kevin Matthews fan, and I was also a fan of WGN. Doesn't happen very often, but it's doable. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower, here till 5 a.m. And I'm your overnight dude every weeknight from every weekday morning, 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. here. And we're talking about things that you didn't like, but now you do. And I got a list here of beloved classic movies that were originally box office flops and not critically acclaimed. And we got a bunch of texts coming in as well. But, you know, before we get back to this, hey, Dan.
Yes.
We have a copy of Steve and Johnny's book to give away.
We do indeed.
So we want to do that. You want to do that now?
Let's do it.
Okay. Seventh caller at 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Seventh caller gets a copy of A Little More or Less, the great Steve and Johnny. Again, I'm just filling in for them until they come back to this slot, which they own. They have put together a wonderful book about Les Paul. It's a great Christmas gift, and we have 11 more to give away, or 10 more to give away, because we've given away two. We had 12 for each day of Christmas. So we'll be giving them away all the way through the beginning of the holiday week, Christmas week. So your seventh caller right now at 312-981-7200 gets a copy of A Little More Less, a great book by Steve and Johnny. And if you want to get a copy, go to WGNradio.com/LesPaulBook. WGNradio.com/LesPaulBook. A terrific book that you should all take a look at. Let's see. David says, Halloween 3, Season of the Witch. Didn't like it at first. Didn't do too well. I think it's the best of the Halloween movies. Well, don't get crazy, David. I mean, I love Halloween 3. Love it. And Dan O'Hurley, he did a great job, David says. I agree. 815 area code says, what about Princess Bride? Classic now, but how did it do at first? It did well. It did well at first. It was a box office hit. It has gone on to become a movie that everybody, another one of these movies that everybody knows pretty much every line to. I don't know. I always ask people this, people who have gone nuts over the Princess Bride, over the movie. Dan, you enjoy The Princess Bride, do you not?
I do.
Have you ever read the book?
I have not.
Okay. Yeah, I got to tell you, I saw the movie and I enjoyed the movie very much. And then maybe 15 years after the movie came out, I read the book. It's 8,000 times better than the movie. It is so much better than the movie. And I never would have read it. I hosted a couple of events at the Johnsburg Library, public library, back in like late 90s, early 2000s. And it was one of these deals where they assigned a bunch of kids to read a book, and then we would read the book and then watch the movie, and then after the movie, we would talk about it. So the two times I did it, the first time we did The Outsiders. So we all read the book and then saw the movie, and we watched the movie together, which, by the way, is a great movie. A great movie. And then Princess Bride. And I had never read the book, so it was like assigned to me by this library in Johnsburg, and then I was going to come in and talk to the kids about it. I read the book, and I was like, oh, my God, it's 8,000 times better than the movie. And I like the movie. I think the movie is fun. But if you've not seen – I mean, if you have not read that book, it's a lot different and a lot better.
What makes it better?
The dialogue is a lot more clever. There is no setup with, like, the grandfather reading the book to the kid. It's a lot more sarcastic. The tone of it is a lot more smart-ass-ish. Do you know what I mean? Like I don't know. William Goldman wrote the book, and I don't remember if he adapted it. Maybe he did adapt it to the screen, but the tone of it is just like really clever and really witty, but just real sharp and real sarcastic. And it just, the tone of the movie was a lot more sweet. And that's cool. You know, the tone of the movie was a lot more sweet and, oh, cuddly. And the book wasn't like that at all, man. It was just very, very Onion-esque, you know? So
he did write the screenplay.
Goldman wrote the screenplay. Okay, so I think they probably said, look, just take all the really sweet stuff in it and amp that up and take out the smart-ass stuff. Can you do that for us? Incredible book. Oh, look at that. We got a winner. It's Zoe. Hey, is it Zoe or Zoe?
You know what? I don't care. When I started using the name, everyone called me Buffy until I was 14, the nickname. And by the time I was old enough to use the name, I'm like, hey, whatever.
All right, so, well, I'm going to call you Zoe.
Okay, that's cool.
All right, Zoe, well, you are a winner. You got yourself a copy of Stephen Johnny's great book about Les Paul, A Little More Less,
that
okay?
That is fantastic. My husband is going to be so thrilled.
Awesome, good.
He is a big fan of Les Paul.
Awesome. And, all right, well, you're gonna love this book. It has great, great stories about him.
Wow.
Okay, thank you, Zoe. Hang on.
You rock.
Hold
thank
on.
You.
Thank you. Hold okay. on. There's Zoe. She's our winner. We'll give away one a morning until we run out of them. I think we've got 11 more to give away. No. What am I, nuts? I'm adding instead of subtracting. We have 9 more to give away. So the next 9 mornings, we'll be giving those away. Bev says, when I was young, I didn't like fried shrimp. Oh, man.
What's wrong with you?
Oh, man. Since high school, however, I can't get enough of it. I don't get it very often because of the price. But if I won the lottery and price was no object, I would eat it every day. Yeah. Jay says, Valley of the Dolls and the Manchurian Candidate.
Wait a minute. Manchurian Candidate, the original, awesome.
It's a great movie.
Yeah.
Remake is good, too, but the original is a classic.
Yeah.
Valley of the Dolls is awesome. It's ridiculous, but it's awesome. 847 area code, I ended up liking the Twilight movie. Oh, God. The Twilight movies, even though I swore that I wouldn't watch them. And I never liked peanut butter until now, and I'm 41. Okay, you're drunk. boy, the Twilight movies, oh, those are bad. Mark says, Stairway to Heaven is known as a sleeper song. It never climbed the top 40, yet it became one of the biggest classic rock songs of all time. That's true. Larry says, wasn't one of the reasons why It's a Wonderful Life did so well was because TV stations could play it without paying for it. You're absolutely right, Larry. It was free for people to just show, and it was shown on every single channel. It was released on 27 different VHS and beta companies released it, and that's exactly why it became as the classic it became. 815 area code says that I heard that the Dick Van Dyke Show was almost canceled before it became popular. That's true. And, of course, Seinfeld. Seinfeld, if NBC didn't have the patience with Seinfeld, Seinfeld didn't hit its stride till season 3. The first couple of seasons and a half of that show, the ratings were bad. I think the move to Thursday to have that on the same night as Cheers and some of the other shows.
There's another
one. That was the big one.
Cheers.
Yeah, Cheers
almost got canceled.
Cheers almost got canceled as well.
Yeah.
Yep. Let's see. Carrie is on WGN. Hey, Carrie.
Hey, Nick. Hey, for me, it's Jim Cotta. No, I'm kidding.
Dan, I'm surprised we haven't heard from Jim Cotta guy. Jim Cotta man, Brian.
Oh,
right?
Really? It's in the next.
Oh, it is in the next. Of course it is. Yes.
Okay,
all right.
Yeah.
Okay, Carrie.
So for me, it's with Wonderful Life, two things. I'm calling about something else, but for Wonderful Life, I'm the only person in the world who hasn't seen the thing completely through, and I'm proud of it now, and I'm not going to watch it. I know what's going on. I've seen the piece together. I've seen it all, but I'm not going to watch it now.
Yeah.
And secondly, didn't the studio kind of screw them over because they released it? They didn't release it at Christmas.
Yeah.
Because of some contractual, yeah. So,
yep.
But my thing is sports stars that I hated when I was growing up, and as I got older and they got older, now suddenly I've got a fondness for them. Like Larry Bird I hated because he beat DePaul in 1979. Favre, yes, he was the Antichrist, but I was pulling for him when he was playing for Minnesota.
Yeah.
So I can name a whole list, but for some reason, I don't know if it's just I'm getting older and when I was watching them getting older or something, people like sports stars just hated.
I got to tell you something, Carrie. I think a lot of the things that we didn't have patience for when we were younger, we like now simply because we've matured and we're older. And I think that comes with wisdom, quite frankly.
I don't have much of that, but I think you're right.
Despite what you think, you know what I mean? Like when you hit a certain age, even if you're an idiot, you acquire some modicum of wisdom,
sure.
You know?
So, yeah.
All right,
yeah,
Carrie. Thanks, man.
Thanks.
All right. We got to take a break here. We'll come back on WGN. We got the news coming up, and we'll wrap this up real quick with things that you like that now you hate, or things that you hate but now you like, some more classic movies. And I also want to touch upon the fact that today, December 8th, marks the 35th anniversary of John Lennon's death. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that and where you were when you found out about it and all that stuff. So that'll be coming up a little bit later on, but break news next.